Let's just jump into it. So, first of all, actually, I was excited to see everybody. It's nice to see so many familiar faces, and it's hard to believe it's been over a year since we've all last met. But it's really wonderful to see all of you. The title is "How Great Leaders Build Strong Teams," and the first thing I want to mention is when we use the word leaders, it's not a title. And we all could be leaders, and we all are leaders at different times. So I just want to make sure when we talk about leaders, it's not just people that have titles. It's actually all of us. So why should we spend time discovering how to be an effective leader? If and a little if At any time, if someone has a question, someone could help me with the chat box and speak up. It's hard to see three different screens. Maybe so Paul can help if I.
I'll monitor the chat
Thank
box
you.
for you, and if
Perfect.
we get something that's worth interrupting, I'll do that.
Perfect. Thank you, Bill. So why should we spend time discovering how to be an effective leader? Well, the first thing I want to share is, teams live up or down to our beliefs and expectations. So our belief of our team, again, as a team member or a team leader, our belief of our team really dictates how good that team is gonna be. And there was actually a study many years ago, and they told the team leaders that they either had a group of good team members or not so good team members. And after the year, they went back, and the success of the team with the good team members was great. And the teams that didn't have the good team members didn't do well. And you're thinking, not a surprise. But here's the truth. It was made up. All of the team members were basically the same. The message to the leader, it was actually a teacher, the message to the teacher was different. So when the teacher believed they had a strong team, they were successful. When the teacher believed they didn't have a strong team, they weren't. So the first thing to realize is your belief in your team is affecting the outcomes of that team. And think about it. How you interact with people that you believe in is going to show. If you believe in somebody, how do you act towards them? You make eye contact. You listen to them. You may touch them on the shoulder when you're talking to them. But people that you don't believe in, you're going to probably not talk to them. You're going to probably avoid them. And again, our beliefs is going to dictate how well our team is successful or not successful. Every organization has what I call bright spots. If you have more than one team, there's usually a team that stands out as being the best. And what I'm going to say to you is consistently what I see is strong leaders create strong teams. I have a bright spot, a team that I work with. It was a brand new leader. And I was talking to him about his team, and he explained what he wanted to create. He had a clear vision on a very successful team. Most people take a year or maybe two to create a team that looks like their leader. He had such a strong vision and such a strong desire to create a strong team. I told him he would have that team in less than 6 months, and he did. Less than about 5 months later, his team was the best team out of about 12 teams. And he was a new leader. He believed in the people he worked with. He set real clear visions. And people wanted to be a part of that success. So every organization has those bright spots, and those are things we can learn from. So think about what it looks like and feels like to have an effective leader. Right? We have an effective leader, it feels good. But here's something you should know. When we have an effective leader, the leader alone accounts for 70% variance. This is based on a lot of surveys. This company looks at organizations around the world, and they look and see what affects engagement. Engagement is when people are happy, they want to be there, they want to participate to the work. The manager has the biggest influence on the team. It's a 70% variable, which is amazing. So my point is, I want you to realize leadership really does positively or negatively impact your team. So the first thing I want you to reflect on is a mirror test. If you have some responsibility that you're in charge of a team, the mirror test is, what am I doing that's making my team better? And what am I doing that's not building my team? Because the reality is how you are as a leader is directly affecting your team. And I hope that makes sense, because we really do have a significant impact. And I hope you realize from the mirror test that there's things we can do as leaders to make ourselves better, which in turn will make our teams better. My biggest challenge today was, in a very short time, create something that really made an impact, because I'm all about creating results. So the first thing I wanted you to realize is, as a leader, an informal leader or a formal leader, you have a direct impact on your team success. Okay. Now, one of the best ways to develop your leadership is actually by giving away your power. And I'm going to share a quick story to illustrate giving away your power and actually becoming a better leader. So, besides, I'm a firefighter, worked the fire department, but also for many years, I was a nurse. I did some volunteer work as a nurse in a place called Boggy Creek. Now, all of the participants at Boggy Creek had medical problems, and I was there to help out as the nurse for a full week working with kids. I actually stayed in a cabin with the kids and helped take care of them. The very first day, one of the people in charge of the cabin that I was working with, he asked the kids, what are the rules for the week? Now think about this. This is like 15 kids. He empowered the kids to create the rules for the week. And I couldn't believe he did it. And I was also shocked by the results. The kids went off on their own and actually created rules for the week. And normally I'd ask you, which rules do you think? But for time, I'm just going to give you what they did. They had a list of very stringent rules. They had a bedtime. They had no horseplay. They had to take showers, and they had to no profanity, no cussing, no curse words. These kids actually created very strict rules for themselves and for each other. Now, the amazing thing, one of the best leadership lessons I've ever learned from those kids, the amazing thing is, throughout that week, we all make mistakes. If a kid made a mistake and broke a rule, what do you think happened? That kid would say, I wasn't supposed to do that, or 14 kids reminded them of their commitment. It was one of the most powerful leadership lessons I've ever had. I never had to talk to a kid. And think about that. As the adult overseeing 15 children, they self-regulated themselves throughout the week. It was absolutely phenomenal. But the leader I was working with gave away the power to them and entrusted them, and they used it wisely. So he actually gave away his power and actually became a better leader. I'm sharing this story for two reasons. One, I think it's insightful about how to use power as a leader. But number two, it's also going to set some tools that I want to provide you to take with you. And I'll explain that in a minute. So we've looked at leader. Now let's look at the team. What makes a great team? Hey, Bill, I'm just going to check in. You're leaning forward, and I just want to make sure. Do you have anything for me?
No, I was just adjusting my position. You're doing perfect. Great. Carry on. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. So we looked at what's a great leader and how to impact your team, but let's look at the team. I could ask you, like, what makes a great team? And I'm sure you would share a lot of insights as far as what you know to be true as what makes a great team. And we could probably have great discussion and great learning. For time's sake, I want to share some research that showed the most important elements of a great team. And this was actually done by Google. And Google came up with five things for an effective team. And the first one is called psychological safety. It's a weird word, but the simple thing to understand with psychological safety, what it means. On the individual level, we call it trust. Psychological safety is the same as trust, but it's in the team setting. So again, psychological safety was the most important thing to have on a team. A matter of fact, without psychological safety, they did not have a great team. So let me say that again. All five of these are important, but without the first one, without trust or psychological safety on a team, if we can't trust each other as a team member, we will not be successful. It took them years to figure this out, but once they did a lot of work around being safe as a team. We're going to talk about this more. I'm going to cover the other ones also more in depth, but right now I'm just going to touch on the top five. The second one is being dependable, right? You and your team members do their work. Number three, structure and clarity. You know what your role is. You know what you have to accomplish. Number four, I like this one. I have not seen this much in other research, and that's meaning. What you do personally matters to you, right? Your work to you is very meaningful. And then last one is number five is impact. And I love this for this group, right? What your organization is doing has an impact, and what you do matters. And I think for most of you, this is the easiest one of the five. Okay. So these are the five things for an effective team. Number one has to be there. It's a foundation. Without the foundation, the house falls. Okay. So this is the most important, the first one. So with such limited time, we're talking about a really short amount of time. How can I instill knowledge? But more important, how can I provide you with an opportunity to implement that knowledge? So what I decided to do is provide you with some tools. Hopefully those were sent out to everybody. And so Paul, we'll make sure everybody hopefully attends, has those. But I sent you a handout, and I'm just going to hold it up. But there was a handout, and I also sent you a survey. And there's actually a third one that's just a chart to collect the survey results. So why did I do this, and what is this for? I talked about your ability to impact your team as a leader. This is a tool for you to find out where you're at. I use a really simple philosophy when I work with people, or I do coaching, if I work with teams. I first want to know, where are you at? The second thing I want to know is, where are we going? What's our vision? What are we trying to accomplish? And the third step is, how do we get there? So a team effectiveness survey is like taking a temperature. Like, where are we at? How is the team doing? Okay. And then in your handouts on these five areas, I actually give you specific actions, targeted actions that you could take as a leader based on your team's needs. So let me explain a little further. The team survey has five questions. One question for each of the five areas of an effective team. So again, you have to have all five of these to be a great team. Again, number one's absolute. You have to have that. And here's the question for number one. And I'm going to go through these later, so I'm just going to go quickly. But it's a simple question you can ask your team members. And then they decide, based on the question about your team, do they strongly disagree? Do they disagree? Are they neutral? Do they agree or strongly agree? And you can look at the individual scores, add them all up as a team, and then you can actually look at areas that are maybe, especially if you have areas that are disagree, that you have problem areas, you can have some conversations around those. So this is a tool, a very simple tool, simple to implement, and then create a conversation. So the second question goes with the second, with dependability. The third one goes with structure and clarity. The fourth one goes with meaning, and the fifth one goes with impact. Again, a quick survey can be done. It could be done informally. We sit down, we say, hey, let's check in where we're at. Let's answer these five questions. They could be anonymous, and you don't have to put your name on it. Someone could collect them, add up the scores, and do an average for each question. And then the team could talk about, like, how we're doing with safety, how we're doing with dependability, structure and clarity, meaning and impact. And just, it allows us to have a conversation. And as a leader, what a great tool to understand where people are at. And say the structure or clarity is low. And maybe right now with something got rolled out, it's something new and they're confused. The plans are not clear what they have to do. This would be a great tool to have conversation and solve problems right then. And it's also something that gives you a score. So you could check in later and see how you do as far as making improvements. So I'm going to go over each one of these, but I'm going to actually go over in reverse order. We'll start with number five. Again, this is listed by importance, but I'm going to just review them in reverse order. So if you're in your handout, I'm actually going to go to the very last one, starting with impact on the second page. Again, I think impact would probably hopefully be successful, high scores for you. I believe most of you have really wonderful causes. Every time I hear about the work you do, it's very, you know, I could see why people working with you want to work there. And I could see why making a difference is so important to your organization. So I think for a lot of you, hopefully this will be a very high score. The team members believe they're having an impact. What they do really matters. You'll see this is the survey question. We believe that the work we do matters. And then if you were to get a low score as a leader, what are some of the things you could do? Help co-create a clear vision that reinforces how each team member's work directly contributes to the team and the broader organizational goals. So I'm not going to read all of those, but I wanted to at least go over one. You do the survey, and as a leader, you know exactly what you need to do from a behavioral standpoint to help make things better. Okay, a lot of it's going to be what I call facilitating. You're actually going to guide the team, and the team is going to actually do the heavy lifting or the work. All right, let me pause here. I know we have some questions later, but Bill, I'm going to go over each of the five questions. Bill, does anything prompt up for you from a question or so, Paul?
No, we've so Paul posted your three documents, and I'm getting a couple of handfuls of thank yous for those documents, but there are no questions about what you're actually saying yet. So okay. I think carrying on would be just fine.
Perfect. And I'm watching our time, so we started, I think, 6 or 8 minutes into it. So
you're doing just fine.
Perfect. I think we're on track. So this is impact number five. Number four, meaning. Now, impact was about the organization's impact. Meaning is personal. So individuals feel like the work they're doing in that organization matters. And right, when we do something that we have a strong purpose for, we will do it really well. We'll do it with pride. But if we're doing something that really doesn't connect with us and doesn't have meaning, you know, we may want to see if we can do something with that work that creates more meaning. I'm a big believer in aligning people with their purpose. Okay. So this is similar to the impact one, but this is on a personal level. And people have different purposes of what's important to them. So this might be a good conversation for individuals more than it is the team. But again, you'll look at the overall team score from a conversation standpoint. But this could be also a personal conversation you have with somebody if they're not really feeling connected with what the work they're doing. Structure and clarity, I think, is pretty clear as far as what it is, right? You have clear expectations, clear goals, clear assignments, roles, and responsibilities. Now, let me pause. If you're a leader, you have pretty good understanding what you think the expectations are of the people you work with. Here's the reality. What you think they know and do is not the same as what they think their responsibilities are. And actually, if you check in with the vision of what clear roles, responsibilities, and expectations are often not aligned, because they're implied. People think, oh, they know what to do, but do they really know like what's most important to do? Do they know the nuances, like what's really needed for the team to be successful? Maybe a little shift in priorities or expectations. So anyways, this is good to check in and see if people really are aligned with what their roles, responsibilities, goals, good opportunity to check in with people. And again, down below, specific things you can do to clarify, communicate goals, ensure team members understand plan. That should be done anyway. So this is also a good prompter for just good leadership skills. Dependability. This is a big one. You know, are people doing their job? Another word for dependability, I would think, would be accountable. Are people being accountable? Now, we often talk about holding people accountable. And I think that's a lot of work. I think most of the work needs to be done on before accountable, which to me is commitment. You know, we want people to be dependable. We want them to be accountable. But we want them to be accountable internally. And to create their accountability internal, we have to create commitment with them first. So we have clear agreements. They say, they acknowledge what they're going to do. They're much more likely to do it. Trying to hold someone accountable from an external standpoint, very challenging, a lot of work. And it's just, you have to keep at it. Shift your focus from holding people accountable to commitment, which is internal. Ask them to say what they're going to do. They're much more likely to do it. So with dependability, we have to be able to challenge each other. In a safe team, you can call someone out and say, listen, you promised me that you were going to do this. You should be able to have that conversation, because you have to work together to create the goals. And then the last one, psychological safety, that weird word. Again, it's trust on the team setting, okay? And it's a belief that it's safe to take risks, to speak up, to ask questions, to make suggestions, okay? There's some specific actions you could take if psychological safety is not there. And I'm going to go a little further in psychological safety, and I want to ask you this. Have you ever been in an important meeting? You've been in a meeting and there was an opportunity to speak up, but you decided to be silent when you should have spoken up. And I think we've all been there. We had a meeting, something was going on. We wanted to say something, but we didn't speak up. We did not have psychological safety. We were in fear that our words would be laughed at or made fun of or ignored or something. But really, this psychological safety, without this, your team cannot be great. I said that before, I'm going to say it again. So we have to be able to speak up with confidence without the fear that someone's going to do something negative to us. Okay. So why do we not speak up? And I'm going to share a couple insights from the research. Here's a few reasons why people have a tendency not to speak up. They don't want to damage the relationship. They don't have the confidence to say something, or they're just trying to not get in trouble. Self-protection. So these are just some examples of why we don't speak up. It doesn't matter why we don't speak up. Not speaking up is actually counterproductive for our team to be great. And it's actually, it could be dangerous. In areas of healthcare and things like that, it actually could be dangerous when people are not able to speak up. There's actually a lot of the research was actually done in hospital settings. And this is really interesting. I'm going to share this one example. This is how the researcher found the psychological safety was an issue. The team, the most effective teams had the highest reported error rates. And she thought there was something wrong. The most successful teams had the highest errors. It didn't make any sense to her. But when she actually studied the teams, they felt comfortable saying they did something wrong. They felt comfortable speaking up. So it wasn't that they had more errors. They probably had less errors. But they shared all their errors. Now think about that. If someone makes a mistake at your organization and your team and they hide it, what are the consequences of hiding mistakes? That's the cost of psychological safety, right? So think about the safety of that. Being able to speak up is critical. And the bigger the risk, the less likely someone's going to speak up. So look at your environment. Is it a safe environment? And will somebody take a risk depend on how they were treated previously? If someone makes a suggestion and you say, oh, that's nonsense. That won't work. We've done that before. That's ridiculous. Are you kidding me? I mean, how you respond to people making suggestions, how you respond to people asking questions. Hey, can you help me with this? Oh, go do it yourself. Again, how you respond to people is going to set up your safety of the team. Absolutely foundational. Here's a real good sign to know what kind of team you have from a safety standpoint. If you have psychological danger, right? We're not admitting mistakes. We blame others. There's a great one you see a lot. Teams have a tendency to be silent when they should speak up. A psychological safe team, this is really fascinating. Each team member speaks roughly the same amount of time. Now, most teams, you have a couple people that do all the speaking. If you only have a couple people doing all the speaking on your team is actually less effective. Now, most teams only have a couple people do most of the talking. If you actually have everybody talk, your team actually becomes more successful. The collective knowledge of the team is much greater than a couple individuals. Hope that makes sense. So here's our desired, we're wrapping this up, our desired results. We got to make it safe to speak up. You know, we told you some of the reasons why people don't speak up, but we have to make it safe that people speak up. This is really big. We want to create a culture of learning. We always want to grow and become better. So think about that mindset of wanting to learn. You're open-minded. When people have ideas, you're receptive of them. You think about them. You listen to them. Okay? And it's really supportive. It's a very supportive. It feels good to be part of a team that feels safe. So you're very supportive of your team members. This is a little bonus thing I threw in here. It was not in the handout. I apologize. I decided to throw one last thing in. And this is just how to have I call it a safe conversation when you have a conflict or concern. So you set the stage and you state the problem as something to be solved. Again, you're focused on the problem, not the person. State the problem as something to be solved. You want to invite engagement. You want to ask them what they think. Ask them for input. And then you want to facilitate. You want to come to an agreement. And then always acknowledge them for their contribution. So you always want to end with a thank you. You want to acknowledge them. So state the problem. I call it a safe conversation. So state the problem, ask for input, facilitate agreement, and then end with a thank you. I apologize for not having this in a handout. If you, anybody wants to take a photo of it, feel free to grab a photo of it or chat it down. I know it's electronics now. It's so easy just to take a photo. But this actually is, I'm running a wrap up. Again, my goal today was to motivate you from a leadership perspective, understanding your impact on a team. Your belief in your team is affecting how well your team is doing. The second thing is I wanted to provide you tools. You could take this survey, have a conversation. Everybody takes it. Add up your numbers and then look, are there areas we need to discuss? Is our, again, is our psychological safety low? What do we need to do to make that better? Just like we asked those kids to write their own rules, believe in your team and let them, they're closest to the problem, let them help solve the problem. Okay. And here's why you want to do this. High trust, high psychological teams. Well, forget the top three. Go to the bottom one. More joy. Why not enjoy work? And hopefully you do enjoy work. But why not enjoy work more? We have less burnout. We're more engaged and we're more productive. So trust, it's a great place to work. It's not only a benefit, but it's also a more productive place to work. So with that, I'm going to see if anybody has any questions.